Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
The topic that we're going to talk about today is why Christ came in the flesh. That's what we're going to talk about. So why did Christ come in the flesh? And, you know, some of the things that he did was recorded in a book and left for us for future generations.
What, brother, that's a two-minute class. We all know that Christ came so your pastor can collect money.
Yeah, exactly right.
But what scripture do we need to prove that? This must be an hour show, bro.
He came and just died for our sins, right, so we can do whatever. But that's what a lot of people think. But that's not the case. Because you know what? We just came out of Easter that people celebrated, you know, which is a pagan holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But they celebrated Easter thinking that it had all to do with Christ. And mm-hmm. Easter Sunday is one of the days that people go to church. You know, a lot more people go to church on that day than any other day. Good Friday, people celebrated that not too long ago. You know what I'm saying? Thinking that that was about Christ, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people have all these different things mm-hmm. as far as, you know, why Christ came, so on and so forth. But we're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to see why he had to come. When he did come, what he told us to do and what we have to do today, to this very day.
Okay.
So go to Romans chapter 5, and there's many scriptures. Unlike the joke you were just saying a while ago, there are many scriptures that we can go to. And in fact, just to start out, I mean, I had a hard time just picking a scripture just to start out with because there's so many. Then I was like, I'll just go with this one.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Romans 5, read verse 19.
Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous.
So it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners.
Mm-hmm.
This is talking about Adam. When Adam transgressed the law, the commandments of God, mm-hmm. he was kicked out of the garden.
Yep.
And ever since then, the scriptures tell us that death came into the world because mm-hmm. of that sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that one man's transgression, Adam,
mm-hmm.
it says what? Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, Christ, shall many be made righteous. Because mm-hmm. now, when Christ came here in the flesh, his entire life that he walked here, he was perfect and he was righteous. He mm-hmm. did not commit sin, unlike Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died as a sacrifice mm-hmm. for us,
mm-hmm.
right, so that we can come back to the Father. So now, if we take on that sacrifice, meaning that if we follow after his examples, change our mindsets, change our spirits,
mm-hmm.
follow after his example, mm-hmm. then that's when we're going to become righteous in the mm-hmm. eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have to come back to God through him. Because ever since after Adam fell, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But now Christ came, and that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why he came, so he can turn people back to righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Go from there into the Apocrypha real quick. Go to 2 Esdras chapter 7.
Okay.
And this book of the Apocrypha was in the original 1611 version of the Bible, and they later took it out. It's still a part of the Bible. 2 Esdras chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 48.
Okay. 2 Esdras chapter 7, verse 48. O thou Adam, what hast thou done? For though it was thou that sinned, thou art not fallen alone, but we all that come of thee.
Okay, so you see what that's saying? O thou Adam, what hast thou done? Because Adam transgressed the commandments of God, it was him that sinned, but he didn't fall alone. Everybody that came after him, it says, has fallen because we all came of thee. So we all can trace our lineage and stuff back to Adam. So after him, that was like the fall of mankind. Death came into the world, and the world has been corrupted ever since that point until now. So the Most High had to send his son Christ into the world for us to die as that sacrifice, to show us how to live the right way and not fall after the transgression of Adam, right? And how we can live our lives better and come back to him. He had to send Christ to do that. But that's the reason why Christ came in the flesh. And that's what we have to really think about, meditate on these things, and look at. All right, let's go from there to Ecclesiastes in the regular Bible, chapter 7. And we're going to read verse 20 to show you our condition and our state.
Excuse me. Still trying to catch pneumonia. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Okay, so plain and simple. The scriptures is telling us, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So nobody can say, you know what, I'm without sin. I'm good. I'm just. I'm justified in the eyes of God. Because you have some people that will go that go around and say that. There is not one person that can say they have not sinned. Because to sin, and we're going to read it in a moment, is to go against the laws of God. So nobody can say that, okay, you know what, I'm perfect, I'm righteous, we've all sinned.
You know what? Paul summed up just what you said from the beginning in Romans 3. And this is one of the scriptures he quoted. He quoted a scripture, I think, in Psalms, their feet are swift to do evil, they're righteous, though none of them hear, there's not a just man upon the earth. But the Most High sent Christ so that by his faith, and his actions and us believing and obeying them, we can turn and be righteous and escape the judgment that's coming on this world.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So now let's go from there into 1 John chapter 3 and read verse 5 first.
Okay.
And then we're going to read verse 4.
Okay. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin.
So everybody knows this. It says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, because that's why I said in the beginning before that the thing now people say is, yeah, Christ died and nailed our cross on the nailed our sins on the cross. So I can live any kind of way that, you know, that I want to live.
No.
He nailed it all to the cross.
No, those ordinances that were against us that he nailed to the cross was the judgments for those sins that, since there's not a just man on the earth, none of us deserve a chance to live.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. So he took those punishments for those sins away by his sacrifice so that now we may possibly have a chance to live in him and get to the kingdom if we believe in him.
Exactly. So it says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Christ was that perfect one. That's why he died on the cross as a sacrifice for the nation of Israel, because he was perfect. And the Lord requires, the Lord God, the Heavenly Father, requires perfection. So even in the past, when you look, when people were doing animal sacrifices, right, the animals that they took to sacrifice, they had to be perfect. So when Christ came and was that perfect, last and perfect sacrifice, he had to be perfect. So he had to have no sin in him. And that's how he was. But what is sin? Read verse 4.
1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
So this is contrary to what, what's being taught in the world. You know, you, if you want to do those old laws, yeah, you can. In the Old Testament, so yeah, you can, you can do that. So, you know, you mean to tell me that you believe where it says go take a turtle dove and sacrifice it? You mean you guys do that? Because that's what it sounds like.
Then when they say that, they don't really understand how Christ reconciled the sacrifices and the Levitical priesthood in its entirety, in himself, his actions, and his position and his sacrifice.
Exactly, exactly. But the laws of God are not done away with. Christ just came and showed us how to keep it in perfection, and we're going to go through some examples in a minute.
Yep.
But they're not done away with. So when we go against the laws of God, we are committing sin.
Can I throw something in there?
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Isaiah 24. I ran across this a little while back. Isaiah 24. Okay. Verse 5 and 6.
Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws.
Stop. Who is the they?
The Israelites.
Okay, so start over.
The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant.
Okay, because like it says in Hebrews 8, for finding fault with them,
right,
because they didn't keep the first covenant, there was nothing wrong with it, it's just that the people were at fault.
Exactly.
Okay, so Christ had to come, but read on.
Isaiah 24, verse 6. Therefore have the curse devoured the earth.
Wow, so there were consequences for disobedience to the word of God as it was given at that time.
Exactly.
So now, since we are at fault, there has to be, well, that doesn't have to be, but God in his infinite mercy gave Christ as a way for us to get back right.
Exactly.
Okay? So, because we, what was going to happen to us? We would have been in a perpetual state of death.
Mm-hmm.
Born into death, or sin, living in sin and dying in sin.
Exactly.
But now since Christ has come, we have a way out of this. Read verse 6.
Isaiah 24, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left.
Okay, so because what? Few of our people... Well, you know, like you could look at the examples recently in the media, it seems to be publicized that, you know, some people have an opinion that people are looking at hunting us for sport, like they used to do in the South when they used our babies as gator bait.
Wow.
You know, it's, you know, so, and that's what it's talking about, the our being us being cursed and the earth being, and the, those that dwell in are desolate because... Well, we're not in our right mind and therefore not in our right place because we've separated from God.
Exactly.
But Christ coming as a way to get us back to God.
Exactly.
Is, you know, and he had to come in the flesh to be able to do that because he had to be here to be that sacrifice.
Exactly. Yep. And that's a good point, bro. So this is what we have to, you know, really look at, man. Because like I said, you know, people celebrate these things, Easter, Good Friday, Christmas. Thinking that it's about Christ, and they doing everything opposite of you know from what Christ told us how to live and how he lived his life.
Yep.
You know, the people pack these churches all the time and saying they love Christ and they follow in Christ. And, yeah, I know he came and died for me, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're not doing the things that he required of us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to Matthew chapter 4.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 17. So let's see what Christ's doctrine was about.
Mm-hmm.
While he was here in the earth, in the flesh, what was he preaching and teaching? Was he going around handing out roses and candy and just, hey, love everybody, you know, that's it's okay, just love everybody? Was he doing that, or was he doing something else? Matthew 4:17.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, give me money. No, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm sorry, that was a piece of lint. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
We just read in Isaiah 24 how we broke the laws, we broke the, you know, the ordinance, so on and so forth, and we was being wicked, and we still are being wicked. So Isaiah was before Christ came in the flesh.
So
the earth was corrupt back then, and it still was corrupt when Christ came.
Exactly.
So when Christ came, he was teaching what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's telling people, repent, meaning stop from committing these wicked acts that you're doing. Stop from breaking the ordinances of God and getting back to the first or the covenant that God made with Israel. Get back to that. Why? It says because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now he was there on the scene. Now he's going to show us the way. But Christ's ministry and his doctrine was about us repenting and getting our lives right and living godly, even in this wicked world. That was his doctrine. That's what he taught. You know, so that's the basis of it. All right. So now we're going to go into some specific examples of what Christ taught, how it relates to us today, and some of the things that we're doing and some of the things that we have to repent from. So keep in mind those scriptures that we just read a while ago, those foundation scriptures. Let's go now to Luke 12.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 13 through 15.
Okay, Luke 12, we're going to start at 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Okay, now, don't we see this a lot amongst us? We see that covetous spirit, having that desire for someone else's things. And this is Christ talking. This person came up to him, to Christ, and was like, listen, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So his brother obviously got some sort of an inheritance, and he didn't get any. So he came to Christ and was like, listen, can you go talk to my brother and let him, you know, give me some of what he got? Christ was like, listen, who made me a judge or a divider over you? You know what I'm saying? Who gave me that authority? But then the key point is take heed and beware of covetousness. The only reason why this man was doing that, he was coveting, desiring to have his brother's inheritance, right? Because that man's mindset was what? He thought that this life consisted of the things that he possesses, because that's what a lot of people think, and that's what happens. You have today, like, life insurance and stuff. You have people killing their parents. I mean,
to get the life insurance.
Yeah, I'm like, just some real bugged out stuff, man. People saying, you know what? Well, this pastor, you know, he's got a newer jet or a more updated jet than I do. You know what? I need a better one. So I'm going to tell my congregation, you know what I'm saying, or put it in a slick way or whatever to give more money so I can get a better jet or a better BMW or whatever it might be.
And you know what? Here, Christ is given, just like in Matthew 5 when he showed how you have to have the commandments in your mind. when he was going over thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery. He's breaking down the commandment of thou shalt not covet.
Right.
He's given an right. ordinance of it. For a man's life consisteth not, or a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things in which he possesseth. So you don't actually have to want somebody else's stuff.
Right.
You can just desire something out of sorts.
Exactly.
Or out of time, or something that's not for you.
Exactly.
You know, but you go into a wrong mindset of getting it. Because what? It becomes more important to you to have something than to be right with the Lord.
Exactly.
Because a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. It consists in the abundance of the Spirit mm-hmm. of the Lord that's in his mind.
Exactly.
Because what? In Revelation 3, I think it was, he was breaking down how people are rich, mm-hmm. but they didn't know how they was desolate and poor and broken and naked.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. We have to have an abundance of his example in our minds, exactly. not an abundance of possessions.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Because then, you know, you have people with the attitude, man, I'm going to get rich or die trying. You know, that goes into that too. You know what I mean?
There's a thing going around the internet, preach rich or die trying. I just saw that the other day. That's covetousness.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. That's covetousness.
You know, I'm going to do whatever it is. Like yeah. people used to say in the gold rush, they used to say California or bust or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was, I got to get out. Dude.
Yeah, exactly.
You sacrificing friends, family,
yep.
all your possessions, everything to get to this goal.
Exactly.
And it ain't right.
Exactly. Or, you know, you have people today also that put their careers in front of everything, mm-hmm. in front of the Most High, in front of their families even.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, their career is their livelihood, just everything. Mm-hmm. They put their all into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's also covetousness because the Most High and His Son comes first in everything. Just like mm-hmm. what you said, having that spiritual mm-hmm. richness about us, having mm-hmm. that right mindset, that
yep.
godly mindset, that God-fearing mindset to do His will at all times.
Yep.
Not to do your boss's will or your mm-hmm. company's will. That's coveted mm-hmm. also.
Or the mother that as soon as her son got drafted in the NFL sent him a bill for $1 million. You know, you should have sent him a thing saying, go hire an accountant and an attorney and don't spend no money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I can't help you. No, well, I can help you, but I, you know, watch out for people that want stuff. But instead, that parent was being covetous.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. All right, so let's move from that, and we're going to look at another example. Stay right here in Luke and go mm-hmm. to chapter 10.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 30 down okay. through 37.
Okay, Luke 10, starting at 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment or clothing,
mm-hmm.
and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Keep him moving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. Well, passed by on the other side. Well, at least he got a look from this cat.
Yeah.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Okay, now, the reason why I read this, okay, in this world that we're living in today, when we see, like, any type of injustice or whatever, you know, just like in the case, the man got robbed and stripped of his clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of the first things that people do, pull out their phone, start videotaping it. Someone getting beat down, pull out their phone, start videotaping it.
What's
up? On YouTube, sending it all over on Facebook to friends, email. Not, and they're there, but they're not helping out the person that that atrocity is being done to.
But, bro, but you be sharing it. No, you don't even do Facebook. No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but that's what people do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
they,
what people do.
You know, they videotape it and stuff, but, and these be the same people that go to church and say, okay, you know, they love Christ, they love God. And,
mm-hmm.
But these, this is what Christ taught. Christ, mm-hmm. this is the story of the Good Samaritan. I know mm-hmm. everybody hears that term or whatever, yeah. but they probably don't even remember the story.
Mm-hmm.
But this man fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy came, he walked on the other side.
The priest.
He walked on the other side.
But the priest and the Levite, they definitely had the means to take care of him.
Right.
And but this Samaritan cat, he had to say, yo, take care of him, and whatever you spend is more. I'm, you know, he had to ask the
right.
innkeeper for credit.
Right, yeah, exactly.
To make sure this cat was taken care of, man.
Exactly, yep, exactly. And it's just showing you the mercy and that love
mm-hmm.
that we have to have towards one another. And, mm-hmm. and another scripture where he says, because iniquity shall abound,
the love of many shall wax cold.
The love of many shall wax cold. So, like I said, man, nowadays,
mm-hmm.
people be seeing these fights,
mm-hmm.
robberies, whatever going on. Mm-hmm. They're more interested in videotaping it than actually helping out the person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. But Christ is saying, go thou, verse 37, mm-hmm. go thou and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
This was his example to us. This was written down for us to follow, and to this man that he was talking to at that time.
Mm-hmm. But now, understand this. The scriptures also point out that you should know who you help.
Yep.
That you should help not a sinner.
Yep.
You know, and the scriptures also bear out that we need to have that mercy, because there are people amongst us that are poor in spirit.
Exactly.
Like Christ was talking about in Matthew 5.
Exactly.
So, when it said, when he's talking about go and show mercy, you know, go and show mercy to him, do likewise, you
mm-hmm.
know, show mercy to people. You got people standing up, teaching or preaching, talking about people going to die, and we know what the judgment is coming, but it's people on YouTube like throwing up curses at certain businesses and doing stuff like that, and hating on people because of the color of their skin and stuff like that. That's wrong.
Right, exactly.
That's not mercy. That's not merciful, especially when the scriptures say, be at peace with all men.
Exactly.
You know, so if somebody offends you, are you supposed to take a hatchet to their neck 5 minutes later?
Nope. Mm-mm. Nope, not at all. Yep, exactly. And that's a good point, too, you know. But one of the main points, like I said, mm-hmm. I wanted to
yep.
bring out with this mm-hmm. is that entertainment type.
That's not merciful.
Yeah.
That's the wrong mindset.
Exactly. You know, it's crazy. So,
mm-hmm.
like I said, this is Christ's example, and mm-hmm. this is why I came in the flesh. So,
exactly.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Mark chapter 10.
Okay.
And we're going to look at another example here with Christ. Now, like I said, keep in mind, the topic is why Christ came in the flesh. Okay. And you have a lot of us that we, you know, go to church or places of worship or whatever, say we believe in Christ, yeah, he came for us, you know, died on the cross, blah, 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 this and that. Mm-hmm. But we're doing everything opposite of his example that he left us.
Mm-hmm.
This is another big one, especially amongst us as the lost, well, not even lost, as the scattered people of the Lord, people that's been mm-hmm. scattered all over, and in these cursed conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 10, 7 and 8.
Mark chapter 10, excuse me, verses 7 and 8. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine.
No. Mark 10.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I mean, that would have fit anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Mark 10, verse 7 and 8. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, in the singular,
mm-hmm.
and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh.
This is Christ speaking. Mm-hmm. If you have a red edition Bible, this will be in red.
Mm-hmm.
This is Christ himself speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he came for in the flesh, to teach us the right way and to bring us back to the Heavenly Father. Right above that in verse 6, he referenced the beginning of the creation, right, when things should have been the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying here, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So now, there's a couple of examples with this.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get this whole gay marriage thing? Well, you know what? Christ never said anything about gays.
Mm-hmm.
He never said that. So I don't know what you brothers are talking about. And we're reading it right here.
Mm-hmm.
A man leave father, mother, cleave to his wife. So two opposite genders.
Mm-hmm.
A man and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole gay marriage thing, a lot of them are what? They go to these places of worship and they're taught, oh, God loves you. God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
God will accept your lifestyle. You're not hurting nobody. It's just love.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going against Christ's teachings and what he taught us.
Mm-hmm.
He says a man cleaves to his wife, not two men, not two women.
Mm-hmm.
So that's off. And when we talk about that doctrinal repentance that he came and taught us in Matthew 17, you have to repent from that. If you're reading this, and you're seeing it for yourself, you got to say, man, you know what? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wrong. Let me stop from doing it. Let me stop from being a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Let me stop doing that. Because Christ says a man cleaves to his wife. So not two men, not two women. That's off. Another example with this, a man leaves his father and mother. You have people that believe in this whole boyfriend-girlfriend thing. And you have young little kids now. You know, sometimes 13, 14 years old, they have boyfriends or girlfriends. But that's off according to the scriptures and according to what Christ is saying, because he didn't say anything in here about boyfriend and girlfriend. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, get a boyfriend, girlfriend until they find the right one, then cleave to their wife or their husband. He didn't say that. So this whole boyfriend, girlfriend thing, that's off. The whole casual sex, that's off. Adultery, that's off. You know, I was listening to the blog show this morning, and, you know, the brother played an episode of Cheaters.
The one where the dude got shot?
No.
The other one?
The one, the dude was cheating with his another woman or whatever, and they was going to church together.
Wow.
The woman that he was cheating with.
Wow.
Like, okay, nowhere in your mind, dude, I mean, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, fornication, that didn't even come to your mind? you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't even avoid churches like, no, you know what I mean? I'm not even going to go because I know I'm guilty of something. You know what I'm saying? That didn't even cross your mind? But, you see, that's why we're going over these things, because people are being taught absolutely foolishness in these so-called places of worship. Because this is the reason why Christ came in the flesh. And the whole world is off, man. All the inhabitants thereof are gone. We've broken every ordinance and commandments of God. And these are some of them that we're going over right now. So the whole casual sex thing, and when you look at us, like I said, the HIV rate, man, is like high amongst us. You know, because why? People are just being sexual perverts, to put it bluntly. Right? Just go around, sleep with many different people, right? Not trying to settle down, not trying to get a husband, not trying to get a wife. They just sleep around just to fulfill the lust of their flesh, just to fulfill that moment of pleasure.
Yep.
Right? Then, make it worse, you have a lot of, what, these children that's coming up now without any kind of parents. You know, sometimes it's a single-parent household, and the common is that is amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
The father is not around or the mother is not around. And yet and still, we are those very same people
mm-hmm.
that love to say with our mouth, oh, I love Jesus. I mm-hmm. love Christ. Oh, Christ died for us. He came
mm-hmm.
for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to these places of worship, like I said, and you give a good lip service.
Mm-hmm. That's why Mark 7:7-8 would have fit. Anyway,
no, go ahead and read it.
I want to read that, but let me go to Exodus 22.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yeah, Exodus 22.
All right.
Because this was given because it wasn't being followed.
Right.
Exodus 22:16-17.
Okay.
No, Exodus 22:16.
Okay. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife.
And if a man serve up a sister, talk to her, get her in there, get her in her mind, get her liking him. If she's a young maiden, which at the time, back then, was equivalent with virgins, because all young women were virgins.
Exactly. Yep.
That is not promised or betrothed, and lie with her. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He shall surely endow her to be his wife. That is that cleaving.
Exactly.
They are no longer twain, but one flesh. But look here, it says he shall surely endow her.
Mm-hmm.
It means provide for her or make sure that she is taken care of.
Exactly.
So that means he has already come up into the ability and the experience of being able to provide for himself.
Exactly. Yep.
And a family.
Yep.
And made those preparations.
Exactly.
Okay. So here Christ is breaking it down, them cleaving together. What is this baby mama drama?
Yeah, exactly. And it's so prevalent, you know, amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why.
I couldn't quote it.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But that's why, back in Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
the earth also is defiled, Isaiah 24:5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant.
Yep.
Mark chapter 7.
There you go.
And 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Yep.
For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, meaning having the vessels and the outward appearance of the vessel or the, because it breaks it down, Christ explains it himself in Luke 11:39. He's talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
You have an outward appearance of religiousness,
right?
But you're not doing one iota, comma, question mark of what's written in the Word.
Exactly.
And we have to stop doing that. You know, we have to go over these scriptures and think about where we contradict these scriptures, and then we have a choice to make.
Exactly.
Choices, you
exactly.
know, because we have to repent or we're not going to make it.
Exactly. And that's the point, man. So, you know, when we're reading these things, remember, like
mm-hmm.
I know I always say it, and you always say too.
Mm-hmm.
We come from being these very same people. You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
I know, like I said, when I, you know, first heard the Word or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of my questions was, you know, about marriage. Like, you know, what is marriage?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I was, the person read the scripture in Genesis to me about marriage. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
that's old. I'm like, what? Genesis? Are you serious? You know, Adam cleaved his wife and they twain shall be one flesh. I'm like, yo, I'm like, that's old, man.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, as I, you know, read on and stuff,
mm-hmm.
now it ain't old because Christ just referenced the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how God intended us, you know, to live from the very beginning.
Exactly.
He wanted us to be that in that perfect image.
The bar is set high.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, but eventually over time,
They changed it.
Exactly, they changed it. But what I was going to say is eventually over time, I had to change my mindset, you know, as far as, you know, how I look at women or whatever and say, okay, you know what, well, that's not right. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing that the men, especially, of our nation have to do. You can't look at women in a certain light like a piece of meat. You know what I'm saying? Just eat it up and just chew it and then you're done with it.
I'm in love with the stripper. What is that?
You know, exactly.
What is that?
It's foolishness, man. That's what it is. You know, and you know, something else too, you had a couple weeks ago, you was doing a radio show and you had said something about a term that they have now, and I never even heard it before, but after you had said it, I'd heard it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I think in a song, I think. You said the word bay and boo and all that other madness.
Yeah. Bay is actually Danish for crap. So when people say my bay, but anyway, people got these nicknames for, you know, this is the main one, this is the side one, and, you know.
Exactly.
What is that? That's not, you know what, that's a weakness. That's a sign of weakness because you can't fight off your lust.
Exactly.
To be strong and upright and righteous, you have to fight off those lusts, and the only way you can do it is according to as it is written.
Exactly. So read Mark 10:7-8 again.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh.
Again, Christ talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's telling us that all the stuff that we see now that people think is the norm, the gay marriage thing, the boyfriend-girlfriend thing, the casual sex, sleep around until we find the right one, all these things that we think is right is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's going against his teachings and the words of his Father, God, you know, that they gave us to live by. And the consequences of this, man, is like, it's just like everlasting. I was talking to, you know, another brother in the church, you know, down in New York, and he was saying, man, you know, he was like, man, that thing is so serious, bro, as far as, you know, just the whole fornication thing, you know, people sleep around and then the child grows up without a father and a mother. I was like, yeah, it is. I was like, that's why, and I always try to harp on that point, you know, when I do shows like this, just to let people, just hopefully they understand.
Yeah.
Because that is a serious thing, because now the child is going to grow up, they're going to think that's the norm, like a lot of us
did. Exactly.
They're going to continue on that cycle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or they might have been neglected when they were young, so then they turn to drugs or violence or whatever it is, and it just is just like an ongoing cycle. So
exactly,
this thing is serious, man, and we have to stop these things, stop from doing these things. It's serious. Go from there to Hebrews 13, and we're going to read verse 4.
Okay.
And we're going to see here again, just on the same topic, with the whole marriage thing.
Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
So being married is an honorable thing. You know, people today, man, I get married, and that's, man, you can be tied down for the rest of my life, and I'm not doing that. A marriage, according to the scriptures, and even a lot of these marriages that we see in the world, you going in front of a preacher, I now pronounce you man and wife, that's not a marriage. Okay, but it says marriage is honorable in all. So when we are married according to the scriptures, according to Christ, it says the bed is undefiled. So whatever sexual things you do with your partner, a man and a wife, that's okay. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So anything outside of marriage, you're considered a whoremonger or an adulterer.
Yep.
And if you don't repent, it says God is going to judge you. That's why I said before, you see the high STD rates among us, the HIV and all them other diseases. You see men getting their checked, you know, for getting a lot of money taken out of the check for child support.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't even live a normal life because of how much money is being taken out of their child support. Who do you think set up, you know, the system, the judges and all that other stuff? That's also a judgment.
The Most High ordained the powers that be.
Exactly.
That's what happens when we lay down as men with a woman or a young lady or whatever without first taking the time to verify that we want to spend the rest of our lives with her.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. That's some of the consequences that we face when we don't do that. You know, so this thing, like I said, is serious, and we got to change our ways because that is why Christ came in the flesh. He came mm-hmm. and taught us these things.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, on that, go to Titus.
Okay.
I think two, the one that we always
okay.
always read at the beginning of the show.
Titus 2,
yeah.
11 and 12 or something.
Yeah, okay. Starting at 11 mm-hmm. and then read on down through 14.
Okay. Titus 2, starting at 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
So the grace of God is Christ that is talking about, right? He came and he taught us that to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we just read some of those examples. We're going to read another one in a minute. But he came and taught us to deny the ungodliness and worldly lust. We read the example about not being covetous.
Mm-hmm.
We gave examples of that.
Mm-hmm.
We read the example of what a marriage is. A man mm-hmm. leaving his father and his mother and cleaving to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And anything outside of that is worldly lust. Casual mm-hmm. sex is worldly lust.
Yep.
Gay marriage or being just in that gay lifestyle, that's a worldly lust.
Mm-hmm.
Having a boyfriend, having a girlfriend, that's a worldly lust.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ came and taught us to not live this way, but to live soberly, righteously, clear-minded. That's what that sober is talking about. I'm not saying you can't drink. You can drink, but in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
It says righteously and godly in this present world. So right now,
mm-hmm.
while we're living, this is the time that we have to live righteous. And it takes mm-hmm. work
mm-hmm.
because they push all these evil things out in the world. You see it on the internet. You bring up the computer. You know what I'm saying? Some naked woman is flashing on the screen or some money. You know what I'm saying? Flashing on the screen. So that is pushed all in our face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ came and what? Taught us to deny these things. So it takes work to put off those evil ways and to be just like him.
Yep.
But it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we put off those worldly lusts, live godly, follow that example after him,
mm-hmm.
then we can look for his glorious appearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We're not going to be like, oh, man, I'm not ready yet. I'm scared
yeah.
when he comes. We're mm-hmm. not going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So
mm-hmm.
he came and died for that nation of Israel, the people that scattered all around the world right now living in these cursed conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he came for, so that we can be that peculiar people unto him, just like how we were before, our foreparents were before. That's why he came and died for us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from there to Luke. Chapter 13.
Okay.
We're going to read another one of his examples again.
Uh-huh.
Luke 13, read 1 through 5.
Okay. Luke 13, starting at 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom the tower in Silo fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Okay, the reason why I read this is because of all the things that's been happening recently, all the injustice. Right, all the evil things, but yep. Cops shooting our people, and you know, just everything. You know, the injustice, the so-called racism that we're going through, and all that stuff. Right, people losing their minds. You know, just don't know how to be. Man, I'm scared. I don't know, man. What's gonna happen? Having marches, seeking help from the government. Mm-hmm. You know, the mayors of whatever cities or towns that we're in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, all these injustices and all these things that's happening. That's the reason why I read this. Because at this time, these were the first section of this anyway, from 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. This was an injustice, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right? This man used the people's blood as a sacrifice. As their sacrifice. They went to sacrifice, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Killed
them. Yeah, killed them.
Yeah.
So this was an injustice and an evil thing.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, similar to what we see today.
Yeah.
All the injustice that's going on.
Yeah.
But what was Christ's mindset? And this, I mean, this tripped me out a couple of times when I read it. I'm like, really? I'm like, he says, verse 3, notice how he didn't say, thou art right, you know, Pilate is evil and wicked for doing that. We should have a march. You notice he didn't say that?
Yeah, but he asked them a question that, you know, was there something wrong worse than what's wrong with everybody else out here because they died?
Exactly.
So they were, because, you know, like some of the people that are getting assassinated, killed, whatever, by the police. You know, you got some news agencies. Oh, well, you know, he stole a piece of candy a month before he got killed.
Yep.
This guy had unpaid child support. This dude had unpaid parking tickets. Like, it's justifying this guy getting shot 27 times in the back.
Exactly.
You know, but the thing is, do you think that because they dig up this little dirt, or because he got killed or whatever, you know, they're trying to justify it, it seems. Do you think that he was more of a sinner than us?
Yeah, exactly.
Or this guy over here that died
exactly.
because he got done that way and it was wrong? You think he was a evil man worse than the evil that's in us?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. That's the question he was asking. That's a good point. Because... And then he says, I tell you nay. So
exactly.
He says, no, they weren't.
Exactly.
And he's saying, unless you repent, guess what? You're going to perish the same way.
You could catch a bad one, too.
Exactly. So, but look at his mindset, though. He was so godly just all the time, bro. That's the thing that gets me. You know what I'm saying? Everything was just about living right, living godly, living perfect. Uh-huh. That's what Christ's mindset was about.
Yeah. And he wasn't trying to find out if there was a conspiracy or not about the tower that fell, was he?
No. Oh, yeah.
Let's investigate this.
Exactly.
Yeah, and because, you know, some people say, you know, and what happened when the Twin Towers fell?
Mm-hmm.
What, purchases of Bible went up, Bibles went up, membership in churches went up, because people saw it as a sign.
Right.
That they should get right.
Right.
But we should get right the next time it's raining and a bus splash in a puddle.
We should get right now.
Exactly. Why wait for something tragic to happen to get right? Because the people that die are no more wicked than the people that live.
Exactly. Yep, that's true. And that's what Christ is telling. So you have people going out there and doing these marches or whatever and saying this and that, and then they into all kinds of stuff. Just like what you were saying, you can catch one at any time too.
Yeah, because we're all wicked. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, doesn't it say it's a bad thing that happens on the earth that a righteous man could die sometimes before a wicked one?
Yep, exactly. So none of us is excluded, man.
Yep.
You know, like, I know even like when the towers fell, I was like, man, you know, what if I was, you know, in that building? You know, and that, when I die, now the books are closed on my life. You know what I'm saying? And everything has been recorded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How would I fare in that day?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question that we got to ask. That's why we got to live right now, not wait for some tragic event like that to happen.
Exactly.
You know, and these are some of the things that Christ came and he taught us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what we have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be the last scripture. Go to 2 Timothy 2.
Okay.
And we're going to read verse 19.
2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Okay, so it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That foundation of God that it's talking about is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to say that Christ is our Lord and Savior, and he came for us in flesh and died for us and all that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to leave off from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the sins we went over in the class, so take heed to it, depart from that iniquity, and repent.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the class was edifying to those that heard it. So we give all praises, honor, and glory to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ for giving us yet another week and another chance and opportunity to come on the radio station here and go over scriptures with our people.
All praises to the Most High through Christ. What we're going to go over today is the topic of troubles in educating our children. There are some things going on here recently in Buffalo, New York. Similar things have happened around the country or are happening around the country in the United States. In Atlanta, as a matter of fact, they decertified the entire school system.
Wow.
And remember, and everybody that worked in it had to reapply for their job.
Mm-hmm.
And they got rid of a few board members, all of the board at that time or whatever. But the same thing is probably going on. Or something similar is going on in Buffalo, New York right now. And, there's nothing wrong with trying to run an enterprise or something like that, as long as it's in Christ. You know, so we have those of our people that try to go in there and their hearts are sincere and they wish best for the kids. You know, and that's, you know, and they're striving to understand Christ or whatever. That's a good thing. Because you look at Mordecai and Esther were what? Number 2 and 3 in the kingdom.
Yep, exactly.
And they were righteous.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing wrong with trying to, or ending up the Lord giving you a position. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as you stay in Christ. But the responsibility for educating our children is on us as parents. And let's read Proverbs 22:6. Excuse me. Because there's things that go on. You know, the Bible states that, you know, that things, parents should be together as one unit.
Yep.
But people believe a false doctrine about, you know, you can have baby mamas and baby daddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, I don't want to get into all that history of where all that came from, but it other than to say that it came from wickedness and false doctrine. But Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Okay, I'm going to give you an example. Let's look at, if I don't want my child to go to jail, and I have a smartphone, I can go get an app called Mobile Patrol. And I can look at that app and see what people are getting arrested for and going to jail for. Oh, let me look up petty larceny. Well, let me look at theft. Let me look at menacing. Let me look at, you know, what, let's see what this is. Okay, you know what? Let me look at drug dealing. Let me look, let's define what these terms are. And you know what? I don't want my child to end up in jail, so I'm going to teach him not to commit petty larceny, mm-hmm. not to commit grand larceny, not to steal, period, not to embezzle, not to, you know, do things that the understanding of not doing them is in the Bible anyway.
Right.
If I want my child to be the biggest weed head, weed dealer in the country, I'm going to what? Start them off to show them how to smoke weed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then go from there, right?
Yep.
And hopefully, with my training as a parent, he'll be the biggest weed head.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm referencing a YouTube video that went viral a few years ago where they had an 8-year-old boy smoking a blunt, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 years ago? You know, and you're teaching that child that. Where is he going to go with that knowledge? And that whole systemic approach, systemic rather, approach, where you got him smoking a blunt at 8 years old. Where is he going to end up with that?
Mm-hmm. Straight in jail or dead or being destroyed if you don't repent and press things like
that. Yeah, they call it dope for a reason. I don't care if it's legal or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they used to tell me when I was a kid. It's called dope for a reason. Okay? So the responsibility is on us. If our child is disruptive, he can be smart as a whip. If he's disruptive, pouting, throwing temper tantrums, he could be the smartest kid in the class. But you know what? They're going to put him in special education and give him meds. And if you want him to end up on meds, even though he's the smartest kid in the class, you can let him be disruptive and throw temper tantrums and all that stuff, and he's going to take that stuff to school, and that is what's going to happen to him. And go and research what happens to those kids. You know, one thing that all mass shootings, except for the guy in D.C. that was trying to get, well, I think he was on meds too. But I was going to say, except for the guy in D.C. that was trying to do random killings and then kill his ex-wife, all those mass shootings have in common one thing, meds,
yep, exactly.
Mental meds. So that's the chance you're taking with not teaching your child an understanding of how to sit still and not be disruptive and throw temper tantrums in school. Because they're going to get meds.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have time, with all these issues going on in education today, they don't have time to deal with disruption.
Right.
They put all the disruptors together, then they calm them down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want that to happen to your child, let it happen. It's on the parents. Parents. Plural. Okay, read that again.
Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go,
mm-hmm.
and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Exactly. So, you know, having an angry child or a disruptive child, you know, that anger and stuff that grows into, it can grow into hatred. It can grow into murder, which Christ points out in Matthew 5,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's one thing we have to teach our children to control is their anger. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, excuse me, 14. Okay, read, we're going to read verse 20, and I'm going to 1 Corinthians 14 because before the false doctrine of separation of church and state, according to the scriptures, there was no separation. The will of the Lord and men that were doing the will of the Lord was the state.
Yep.
And that was the elevation and status or status of our people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it was all tied to our position in the world, whether united as one people on one front or scattered throughout the world, going into slavery and being called racial slurs that meant either black, N-word, or slave, wherever we were scattered at, even today, is dependent upon whether or not we are in the Lord's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can have, the government is supposed to come from the Lord,
yep,
not from men. But because of our wickedness, he established governments to rule over us, to control our wickedness. Read Romans 13.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The powers that be are ordained of men to what? Quash evil works.
Yep.
Right? So 1 Corinthians 14 talks about how the church meetings should, you know, should run in order, and people shouldn't have everybody trying to make a point, everybody trying to have something they need to bring out. The stuff should be orderly. People shouldn't be speaking all at once. There should be no contention and everything. But there's one thing in here, and this can apply to how the children are supposed to grow up, because the children are supposed to grow up in the church. Or the, and I use that term very, very tightly, because church today does not mean what church in the Bible meant.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
Supposed to grow up in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So they're supposed to see that order. All right? So, and they're supposed to learn more than just, you know, the things of the Bible. They have to understand math and writing and stuff like that. You know, so all of that is supposed to go all together. They're supposed to learn and grow and everything. So let's read 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. And I'm sorry, it's first supposed to learn and grow in everything. Read 1 Corinthians 14 and 20.
Brethren, be not children in understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men.
Okay, so this is the order that's supposed to be, not just in the church according to as it is written, but in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And amongst us as neighbors and fellow followers of God, mm-hmm, according to as it is written, not according to men's doctrine. So we're supposed to be children in malice, meaning like, you know, like my grandson is, what is that? What is that? What is that? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Why is that doing that? What is that? What is that? Why is that? Why is this? Why is that? That's how we're supposed to be about malice and wickedness. No.
Yeah.
Why is that guy on YouTube? Yo, why is them 14 girls on YouTube beating each other up and pulling their hair out, Dad? Why is it? Yo, bro, did you see that? Why is the kids on?
Right.
Yo, why is that? Why is that sister got her body all exposed and swinging around on that pole? Are you? Why is there a video? And why is people liking it? I don't understand that. Why? That's how we're supposed to be.
Exactly.
But in understanding,
mm-hmm,
we're supposed to be men.
Yep.
And we're supposed to translate that to our children. Because the scriptures point out how that when we pass, our children are supposed to come up and our friends and our enemies will be like, yo, that's another cat just like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a drug dealer just like him.
Yep.
Not a sinner, an adulterer just like him, but a righteous, wise in all things,
mm-hmm,
dude just like him.
Yep.
That's how it's supposed to be. So there is a responsibility for us to raise our children in this.
Mm-hmm.
What? You got some?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So, you know, and Proverbs 22 speaks a lot, because if you, and I mentioned it, if you want your kids to end up in jail, because people are bringing that out, especially locally, recently, listen, you know, it's just a messed up system the way it is now,
mm-hmm,
and how they're dealing with kids that are having problems, you know, not really addressing the problems, just maintaining them So to pass them through the system until they get caught up in the penal system.
Exactly.
Now, that may be true, but the way to really counteract that is to come in and show to you the words of the Lord, because a lot of times there's a lack of understanding of how of what the will of the Lord is for us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just come here. His story, he said that we just slaves, and you know, all the news media, they show that, you know, we are criminals. All the videos, music videos, talk about flashy cars, naked butt, and lots of money by being in love with the cocoa and having it for the low. Okay, so, and then the penal system gets. That's not what the will of the Lord was for us. So we have to take and fight this system, this entire system of things that this world is, and fight it and debrief our kids daily by training them in the way they should go. Training them. And I know it's hard because a lot of us have to do 3 or 4 jobs to work a lot of hours and stuff, but we have to quality time rather over quantity time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to go from the words of the Lord, and we have to pray, you know, and there's a whole bunch of things, but it's all described here in the Bible. All right, so I want to go to 2 Timothy right quick. Let me see, was that 2 Timothy? Or was it Titus? Let me see. Okay. I'm going to read Titus 3:3-8.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Titus chapter 3, verse 8.
No, chapter 3, verses 3 and 8.
Oh, verses 3
mm-hmm.
and 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Titus chapter 3, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived,
mm-hmm.
serving diverse lusts and pleasures,
okay.
living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
That's everything that happens in our communities, wherever we at, scattered throughout the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Foolish, sinful, wicked is an H-E and 2 hockey sticks, disobedient, don't want to hear it,
mm-hmm.
whether from our parents or anybody else that's trying to steer us right, tricked into thinking, what, look at that music video, man. You know, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, smoking, drinking, not being responsible, being adulterers, adulteresses, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's us. Everything from arguing. I mean, it was a fight the other day where both people ended up in the hospital in critical condition in this city, you know. And I'm like, yo, how could the fight get that long? What was, you know, they didn't have any more details, but, you know, and I don't know the details, but I'm just saying these things happen.
Right.
And they shouldn't, because what does Scripture say? Don't be a brawler.
Exactly.
So if you don't want your child to end up in a lot of fights, you have to teach them not to be a brawler.
Exactly.
There's other ways to settle this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And hating one another, that's talking about murdering, right? Read verse 8 right quick. I know what you're thinking of.
Titus 3, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
So this is how your child can grow up to be prosperous and profitable, whether he's living in a mansion, has a mansion and a yacht, or whether he's on public assistance.
Exactly.
Him or her. All right. And notice here that it says in verse 3, for we ourselves also were.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to make a change.
Exactly.
And that's what we all have to do, because our kids look at our examples.
Exactly.
You know, when my child was young, I used to run around, work all the time, overtime, and
then go run around and do this and do that and do this. And, you know, I can't sleep. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, never thought I was teaching my child that.
Yeah.
Now I look at my child like, oh, you know what? I can't sleep. I'm just up. Like, where did you get that from? Okay. Never had a class about it.
Yeah.
You know, never had a formal syllabus, and you go by this book, and you know, we're going to go over how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But she learned it.
Yeah.
You know? So these are things that we had to depart from. And it's also a faithful saying.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something about faith, having that faith in God,
exactly.
That if you believe in God, you might be careful to maintain good works. So your actions have to be good and according to the words of the Lord, because what did Paul say in Romans 7? The law is just and holy and good.
Exactly.
So we have to have lawful works, but believing,
mm-hmm.
You know, that belief is going to cause us to obey what's written, not discount any section of it.
Exactly.
These things are good and profitable unto all men. So even from a child, if we learn these things, this will be what helps us. Did you have some?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just two scriptures.
Uh-huh.
Go to Psalms 78.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, we're going over this, and a lot of people, like, leave the education system in place to teach their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But just like we're bringing out, the education system, I mean, it's all foolishness and very satanic. And mm-hmm. and that's what they teach. They teach a satanic philosophy and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
These holidays come around, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they push. Halloween, mm-hmm. Christmas, Easter's coming up, so-called Good mm-hmm. Friday.
Yep.
These are all pagan days that we shouldn't have any part of.
Evolution.
Exactly, evolution.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they push in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gone are the days where they teach 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between T-H-E-R-E and T-H-E-I-R. A lot of people don't even know that the difference. Mm-hmm. They're not even teaching that.
What about the difference between those two and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's foolishness that they're teaching our children in school, and a lot of parents take the lazy route and say, oh, no, I won't do what I'm doing.
You can't do that.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
can't do that.
So we'll read Psalm 78, mm-hmm. read 1 through 5.
Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. So the words of the Lord is the law.
Exactly.
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. What was written in the old time? Okay. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children.
So you see what this is saying? This is telling us that we should be showing our children
mm-hmm.
the laws of God, the testimonies. Now we know everything is through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we show them the examples of Christ,
mm-hmm.
okay, how he lived his life, how he dealt, all the things that the Lord did for us in the past, the great mercy that he showed us, the great mercy that he continues to show us, the things that he requires of us and how to live, the malice that we shouldn't have, that's just like what you were going
mm-hmm,
over.
Mm-hmm.
The drugs, the herbs that he made for man, for the medicine of man, not to inhale it through our lungs.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like that we should be teaching our children.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this was actually a commandment that was given to us for us to follow. So we can't go by, okay, we're just going to let the school system teach our children, because they're not. All they're learning is just satanic philosophies, like I said before.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even learning the basics. A lot of our children today, they can't even do basic math problems or math issues. You go to a fast food restaurant or something like that, and a young person is working there, and you give them a certain change or whatever, and they're looking at it, I can't do the math. I need a calculator.
Well, that's why they put the calculators on the cash register.
I never even noticed
that. The cash registers used to be by hand. You used to punch in the numbers and total it up, and it would be a total like 863.
Right.
You give them a 20, and they would, okay, let me see, 12, that's 8, so then 63, so that's 1137.
Right.
Or somewhere around there. I'm old. You know, but it was never used to be an electronic calculator in a cash register.
Exactly. So it just leads you to think, okay, well, what are the children learning in school? What are they learning?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but satanic philosophies and stuff like that, man. Mm-hmm. They're learning when you have sex, use protection.
Yeah, because they're handing out condoms in school. When that's not the place for the school to teach that.
Exactly.
It's for the parents to teach according to the words of the Lord.
Exactly. And then one last scripture. Mm-hmm. Let's go into the Apocrypha, 1 Maccabees,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 2.
Okay.
So this was an example of mm-hmm. a person, a man, a righteous man,
mm-hmm.
living this example of teaching his children. Because mm-hmm. a lot of the men today, first off, they don't even know in a lot of cases that they didn't have kids with it. They don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that do have children, they're not teaching them according to the Bible. They're teaching them foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 Maccabees chapter 2
mm-hmm.
starts at 16 and just read through 19.
And when many of Israel came unto them, Mattathias also and his sons came together. Then answered the king's officers and said to Mattathias on this wise, thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthened with sons and brothers.
Stop for a second. So this is when the Israelites are being persecuted by the Greeks,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and they're coming to Mattathias and saying, mm-hmm. okay, you are a great ruler and a great man in the city,
mm-hmm.
strengthened with sons and brethren. You got a lot of kids. You got mm-hmm. a lot of siblings. Read on.
Now therefore, come thou first and fulfill the king's commandment, like as all the heathen have done, yea, and the men of Judah also, and such as remain at Jerusalem. So shalt thou and thine house be in the number of the king's friends, and thou and thy children shall be honored with silver and gold and many rewards.
Okay, so he's telling him, okay, come break these commandments, right? Mm-hmm. Do what the king's commandment mm-hmm. says, and guess what? You're going to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different from today when they're pushing like the Christmas, the Easter, and all that other stuff.
Exactly.
And for the ones of us where our children know better, they don't do it. Guess what? They're basically ostracized for it.
Yep.
You don't read them.
Then Mattathias answered and spake with a loud voice, though all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him and fall away every one from the religion of their fathers and give consent to his commandments, yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk in the covenant of our fathers.
Okay, stop. So is this showing you the example that he set that example and his sons also followed? And his sons also mm-hmm. follow the same example.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, this is why these mm-hmm. scriptures were written for us to follow these examples today.
Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/theBOCC. Follow us on Twitter at theBOCC. And view our videos on youtube.com/theBOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom. Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.